Go to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts, chapter 9. Start on Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and things and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as he had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word that you left us to guide us and lead us in this life. We pray, my Father, that you would open up all our hearts to understand thy word and our minds to receive it with gladness. We pray, Lord, that you would work in each one of our lives according to thy will. And Lord, if anyone here is not saved, I pray that you would speak to his heart even this morning. And for those that are saved, Lord, I pray you speak to them also and give them their call that they need to hear. We thank you, we love you, and we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, this is the story of the Apostle Paul, which we all know very well. But I'm not going to speak on Paul this morning. Instead, I'd rather speak on a kind of unknown individual by the name of Ananias. Ananias, you'll find him only here in the book of Acts, chapter 9. And then Paul speaks a little bit about him in chapter 22, where he gives several different things about this man. He was a Jew, a devout man, well-respected in the community. And, of course, his life only appears like a vapor and then disappears. This is very similar to our lives. You're here only for a little while. But I like to study, of course, I like to study all the important people in the Bible. You learn so much from them, but also from the little guys. The little guys, many times you don't even know their name. God doesn't give you their name. But they all teach us quite a bit. Especially because it should remind us of ourselves, the things that we should do and the things that we should be doing, because it is very easy, beloved, to go through this life, and especially as Christians, and just to think that, well, who cares if I serve the Lord or not? Nobody's gonna know. Nobody knows if I gave my neighbors a tract, or if I give tracts at work or at school, or when I go buy groceries, or whether I go door knocking or street preaching. Nobody knows, and who really cares? This is the attitude of so many Christians. They think that their work is not important, that nobody will notice, but that is nonsense. Your work is important, everything that you do. And the Bible gives us a lot of stories of many people that did great things, and yet you only see them for a little while. But this is just to show you that there are many stories in the scriptures. I just chose just a few just to give you an idea of the things that people have done in the Bible, and their names are not even written. We know the name of this one. The Lord gave us his name is Ananias, but let's take for example on 2 Kings chapter 5, where there's a young girl. She's known as just a Jewish mate. She had been captured. She was a slave. They put her to work in the house of Naaman, a leper. And we see that this lady should have been very upset and very mad, especially when she was a slave. She was living with the enemy. And this lady, she should have said, okay, you know, now that I'm my life is ruined, I can't go back to go see my mom and dad. I don't have the freedom to go out on the streets. I can't do nothing else. And here is this guy that just wind up getting leprosy. I'll let him die. I won't tell him what to do or where he can go. Many Christians think that way. Yes. They're going to keep their mouth shut and they're not going to say nothing because they figure, who cares? But this little lady, if she opened her mouth and delivered this man from the leprosy by recommending him to go to the prophet in Israel by the name of Elisha, and she did it, we have no excuse. You have the freedom to go and come as you please. You live in a free country, the greatest country that ever was. You have the freedom to go and do so many things that nobody else has. And yet, we as Christians, we don't want to do anything. We think, who cares? Nobody's going to know. I just want you to know that this little girl, this little maid who opened her mouth and began to praise the Lord and say, I know who can heal you. And this man wind up getting healed. And of course, when you read the story, you also find that Naaman said, you know what? Now I understand that the God of Israel, he is God of all. He is the real God. In other words, now he was going to start worshiping the true God, which before he didn't. And who knows how many people he reached. The Bible says that Naaman was influential. He was powerful. He was well known and respected. A very valiant man in battle. And yet, he almost lost his life. Because he was about to disappear. He was about to call his life the end of it because now he had leprosy. He was going to have to go and live in a leper's colony. He was going to have to abandon family and wife and prestige and all the honor that he received. But this little lady saved him. And you know, that's a type of sin. We all came into this life with that same sin. We came already condemned. That's what the Bible teaches us. We came in here just like that sin, or rather that illness or sickness of leprosy. Once you got it, that was the death sentence. You weren't going to come out alive. It was just a matter of time when your life would end, and little by little you would start losing all your toes and your fingers, and then you wouldn't be around anymore. You would have to holler from a long distance and say, unclean, unclean. This was going to be his life, and yet this little girl, because she did not want to keep her mouth shut, she wanted to speak for the Lord, it saved him. It's a shame that so many Christians who have all the liberty in the world will just keep their mouth shut and won't say anything. But you know, she's not the only one. Let me give you an example from the New Testament. In the New Testament, we also have many unknowns that also did great work for the Lord. We have, for example, a lady whose name is not even given. But she was a Samaritan woman, the Bible says. And Jesus spoke to her. There was no time to waste. I don't see God speaking to her several times or he was going to meet her later on. It was just one time only. There was no time to be beaten around the bush. God gave it to her as straight as can be. And yet this lady who was hated by the Jewish people, she had a terrible life, had already ruined five marriages. Whose fault it was, nobody knows. But she had finally given up on marriage, and now she was just checking up with somebody. During that time, it was a very bad reputation to have somebody like that. Now, of course, today she would fit just fine here in America. Yes. But at that time, that was considered a disgrace. Yes. This lady was a disgrace. And yet Jesus spoke to her and told her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you, you would have asked me and I would have given it to you. Right. Jesus was ready to save her. But at the same time, he told her, you worship, you know not what. God didn't have time to beat around the bush. He had to come down real hard and tell her the truth because she needed to know the truth. It's a shame that so many people can't handle the truth. You tell them, look, you worship, you know not what. They get all upset with you. They're ready to fight with you. But yet, that's exactly what Jesus says. He says God is looking for worshipers. He's looking for true worshipers, and the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. And he told her, he says, salvation is of the Jew. That would infuriate all the religions of this world today. That would get everybody ready to fight, and yet this lady stood there and took it. But you know something? This lady, instead of hanging her head down low, and instead of saying, you know, my life is a disgrace, I shouldn't speak, she went and spoke. She went and told everybody. He said, you know what? This guy told me the truth. He told me everything about myself. Is he really the Messiah? Is he the Christ? She knew that the Christ would come and would tell them everything. That's what she told Jesus. And Jesus responded, I that am talking to you, I am he. But this lady goes out and spreads the word. Many people would have been ashamed, but not her. And I'm so glad that she's in the scriptures. She will always be in the scriptures. This is an example for us to follow. This lady went out and began to speak. And then later on, the Bible tells us that the people said, you know what? Now we believe in Jesus. He says, not because you told us, but because we came and we heard him speak. That's so amazing. Because you don't find today people really checking. You go and tell them, and instead of them checking the scriptures to see if it is so what they're saying, they just reject it and they call you a heretic. They don't want to hear and they don't check it, but I see in the scriptures that they are more noble that check the scriptures. Those that check and see if you're telling the truth or not, these are more noble. And this lady and those people, they began to check. This lady became a great evangelist. Let me tell you why. Because she spread the word. And the people began to hear. And after Jesus had already gone to heaven, and it was maybe years later that Philip came, and he began to preach in Samaria, and they're having a great revival. Amen. Only because of a woman that would not keep her mouth shut, that went out and spread the gospel. She went and talked about Jesus. She planted the seed. And now there was a great revival, all leading all the way, pointing back to that Samaritan lady. It's amazing when a person begins to follow what the Lord has told him to do. But you know, what we have here is a story of a man who you hear very little. This man heard the call from God, and he obeyed. Now, what we know is that he was a respected man. Obviously, he was a praying man. He listened to what God had to say, and he was ready to respond when God called him. And he said, behold, here I am, Lord. Very different from the way many Christians respond. God will call you, and what he does is he's not going to send you a letter. He's not going to send angels to come in and blow the trumpet as they give you the message from God. He'll send somebody. He'll send a man to preach, maybe from the pulpit. Well, I know it is from the pulpit, but maybe somebody, a friend of yours, that will come and tell you, hey, friend, let's go and preach. Let's go over here and do this work for the Lord. Let's start a Bible study. Let's go and witness to a neighbor, a friend, a relative. Just 2 months ago, I got a call from an aunt of mine. And I hadn't seen her in many years. I had witnessed to her when I got saved 28 years ago. And I don't think I had seen her since, but she gave me a call. She had already called me several times, invited me to go. 2 months ago, she called me and she said, "Mijo, you need to come over. I'm 88 years old. I want to see you." You know, I didn't look at it as just a woman calling me. I understood it was a call from God. God wanted me to go and witness to my aunt. I did. I went last week. And I stopped, first of all, at my old house where I was born and raised. And the one who owns it is her daughter, who is 70 years old. I had never witnessed to her yet. But I went and spent several hours talking to her about Jesus. The things I told her, she had never heard before. She did not know the gospel. She didn't know anything, but I had a good time talking to her, giving the testimony of Jesus, what he had done for me, what he had done and how he had suffered, how he had died and rose again, and what he had done in my life, how my life had changed when I put my faith and trust in him. And then afterwards, I went to go see her mama. Her mama had already moved to another house that one of her sons had bought her. And I went and talked to her, and I had a good time. I spent several more hours with her. Then from there, I went to my neighborhood. And I was just having a good time. I stopped at a store that had the door open, and I said, "This store, I used to be there in 1950. I used to buy my candies here." And it looked the same, and I walked in expecting to see the same people. I said, "Who owns this place?" He said, "Oh, it's my dad." I said, "How old is he?" "He's 80 years old." I said, "Oh, man, he's not the one that I knew. I thought it'd be somebody that maybe went to school with me." But I was having such a good time. Then I went to another friend of mine that was a bad guy at one time. But I stopped by to witness and find out all the things. It was a call from God. That's how I looked at it. I don't look at it as it was just a little old lady who called me to come and visit me. I looked at it as it's from God. I need to go and witness. I need to be very attentive to this. I need to be able to say, just like a lot of the men in the Bible, when God spoke, they said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Or to say like Samuel, "Speak, thy servant heareth." Or to say like, or to respond like Ananias and says, "Behold, I am here, Lord." Most people respond the way the Apostle Paul responded when he was met by God on his way to Damascus, by saying, "Who art thou, Lord?" It's a shame that Christians have to answer that way. You should not have to be answered like if he's some stranger. You ought to be paying more attention to when God calls you to go and do the work. Amen. But we're so busy with the affairs of this world. We're so busy with the things that are going around us that we don't pay attention. We don't want to go. We don't even know when God speaks, and when he does, we're just like Paul. "Who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do?" Of course, Paul was not saved. But this is the response of many Christians. That's why they don't go. That's why they don't do. They think, "Well, who will know? Who cares?" The thing is that God cares, and he pays attention to what you do. One day we will all have to answer. But you know something else about what I see in here also? Is that God always calls the busy man. He's the one that God wants to use. He's not going to call somebody who's just been sitting around at home waiting while watching television to see if God will touch his heart and send them out to go and witness. God's going to call the one that's outside already, the one that's already out there witnessing, the one that is doing the work. That's who he calls. That's why when Philip was preaching in Samaria. He's the one that was sent to intercept the Ethiopian eunuch on the way to Africa so he could witness to him. God didn't call on Peter and John. I don't know where they were. He didn't call on none of the others. This Philip, I don't know who he was, if he was one of the apostles or if he was one of the deacons along with Stephen's. Or he might have been just somebody else, but we know that his name was Philip. And we know that he was out preaching and doing the work. And this is who God is going to use. That's the way it always happens. Let me tell you, when I had, when they checked my heart to see, you know, because I was having trouble walking, and they found that I had four veins leading to my heart that were clogged. One was 100%, the other one was 98, another one was 93, and the other one was 70-something. But it was really bad. And when they sent me the doctor that had been recommended by my heart doctor, he sent me the surgeon that was going to operate. The man came to the hospital where I was, and he says, sir, I just want you to know that I have a lot of experience. I operate on at least two people every day for open heart surgery. I average over 250 a year. You know, that made me real happy. Because he had a lot of experience. If he had said, you're so lucky, you're the first one I'm going to operate, I wouldn't have been too happy about that. I don't want to be somebody's guinea pig. I don't want him to make mistakes on the first one and say, oops. I wanted somebody that had a hot hand, somebody that's doing the work, somebody that I can trust. And I tell you, it really calmed me down. When I knew they were going to do open heart and the guy was well experienced, that's what I wanted to hear. But you know, my friend, the Bible does tell us that we should be trained. We should be trained soldiers. The Bible, that's why it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to study. We are to be able to divide it. We ought not to be embarrassed by anybody. But yet, many times what we see is not the one that's trained, but the one that's willing. That little Jewish mate, I don't see where she had been trained in the scriptures, where she had been going to a seminary or had been gotten any kind of degrees. I don't see the Samaritan girl also as being a specialist on the Old Testament. She was a specialist on men, but she was not a specialist on the Old Testament, but yet she was willing to go. And that's what I see. So it's not so much as to how much training you have, in case you think, well, I need to graduate from school or I need to graduate from a Bible college. Just be willing and God will use you. Amen. That's what the Lord is looking for. But what we see here also is that Ananias also began to ask questions. And there's nothing wrong with asking questions. We see Moses asked. We see, and of course he asked and asked and asked until God finally got mad at him. He wouldn't take an answer of what God was telling him. And you can ask all the questions you got, but Ananias had a good reason. He had probable cause to believe that the person accused was guilty as charged. That's what probable cause is, according to the Supreme Court. It's something that I memorized in 1968. It was circumstances sufficiently strong in themselves to caution to warrant a cautious and prudent man to believe that the person accused is guilty as charged. That's the definition of probable cause. And let me tell you, Ananias had probable cause not to go and witness to Saul. Saul had a reputation. Saul was bad. He had already heard enough. I know I would have done the same thing. I would have said, Lord, he'll kill me. Lord, he'll put me in prison. Lord, can you send an army with me? Lord, can you make sure that I'm carrying a couple of 44 magnums? This is the only way I would have gone. But, you know, he had concerns. He was not a reluctant servant. He was not somebody that had doubts in God. He had just reason to question. Nothing wrong with questioning. But then afterwards, you need to just trust God. And that's what many times we like to lean in our own understanding. The Bible says don't lean in your own understanding. Just do it. Many times it might seem like it's hard. Many times you know you're going to go through pain. Many times you can see that, or you can't see the outcome, and God's not going to tell you. He didn't tell them the benefits or what he was going to do with Paul. He didn't say, look, Paul's going to be the greatest apostle. He's going to change this region. He's going to change history of mankind. Paul is going to save many people. He's going to start bringing out people from the church. I'm going to use him in a mighty way. He just told them, I'm going to show him the things that he must suffer. This man, Ananias, that was good enough for him. He said, well, I'll go. God's not going to show you the outcome or what's going to happen. Because if he did, then you wouldn't go. Yeah. If God would tell you, yeah, go door knocking, and after 50 houses, somebody will want to listen to you. You'd say, why go? Why waste all my gas? Why waste all my time? Why waste all my breath and energy when nobody's going to listen? You wouldn't go. If he told you, yeah, somebody will get saved after about 6 months of knocking on doors, but he'll get saved 10 years from now, you wouldn't go. The thing is, beloved, we don't know, and God doesn't want to tell you. That's his business. He just gives you the story. Take off, go and do it, and just trust God for it. You know, I started going door knocking since I had been saved 6 months. I knew that that was the thing to do. And for me, it was real easy to go door knocking than most people, mainly because I was a policeman. I was used to knocking on somebody's door. I was used to going inside their homes. I was used to talking to small groups and big groups. It didn't bother me. I got used to it. So going door knocking was natural. It was easy for me. And I thank the Lord that I went through that experience. And right now I go door knocking 2 days a week. I go on Tuesdays and I go on Thursdays. I go with two different brothers. And I found me a neighborhood here in the west side. I was telling them, I said, this place here, I said, it didn't used to be but nothing but woods when I was a policeman. I used to fingerprint stolen cars here all the time. This was a dumping ground for stolen cars. But now there's homes. Now there's people. And we started going door knocking there several weeks ago. And house after house after house, they all opened the door. I'm able to witness for about 20 minutes to every home. And I'm saying, man, this is a gold mine. And last week, we had already witnessed in two different homes. And then we go and knock on the last one. And the lady says, oh, come on in, sirs. She opened the door. We walk right in. And she says, here she is. She's sick. And I said, oh, no. She's thinking we're somebody else. But I didn't want to tell her, we're just passing by, we're just Christians, we're just knocking on door, we want to just witness to you. But she said, here she is, she's sick. I told her not to work so hard. I told her, sir, tell her something, sir. So I wasn't about to ruin it. I said, okay, what's wrong with you? What happened today? She said, well, I don't know, I might have had a mild heart attack, high blood pressure, And I say, you know what you need? I say, you need to read God's word. He gives you the peace that passes all understanding. He gives you rest. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I began to speak to her about Jesus. And I just talked, and then she said, you know what? I can't read, but I can listen. It was all in Spanish. I witnessed and witnessed and witnessed until I finally finished and I had given the gospel and told them the testimony, what God had done for us and what He had done for me, how He changed my life, how He can change her. And I said, okay, I'm going to pray. And they were far away. And when I finished praying, they were right next to me. I didn't hear them. They were right next to me. And of course, it was just very natural for me just to hug them and tell them, okay, you know. And I'm acting like I had really been sent. And the lady, I gave her some gospel tracts where our church was. He says, who are you? Who sent you? She was amazed. But I wasn't about to spoil it and say, well, I was just passing by and you invited me in. Instead, and I didn't want to lie, I said, somebody sent me. I didn't want to tell her it was Jesus, but I know it was. The door was opened. I was able to witness. And when I left, we were walking, and I said, man, I feel like the Lone Ranger. They're probably saying, who was that masked man? But I could hardly wait to leave. I wanted to burst down laughing and fall on the floor and just laugh so hard. At the same time, I was so happy. I was thrilled that they had opened the door that I had witnessed. And that's how it's been in that the neighborhood. Week after week, it's nothing but open doors. I'm just amazed. And you know why? It's because I went. That's why it happened. It wasn't that I'm some great man or that I can speak very well. I just go and I give my testimony. I give what the testimony that God has given us. The Bible says, blessed is the man who keeps his testimony and that seek him with all his faith, with all their heart. That's all you have to do. It's not that hard. And I know that you can do it. You can give your testimony. You got saved. You can tell somebody what God did for you. That's all He's looking for. He's not looking for you to be well trained and then know 50 verses offhand and be able to answer everything. You're going to be told things and ask some things that you won't know how to answer. My wife was telling me, she was upset the other day because some Jehovah's Witness brought something and she didn't know how to answer quick enough. That's okay. We all have been there. That will cause you to read a little more. That's on-the-job training.
That's right.
That we all get it. It's your season in the battles. That's where you become hard. That's where you become ready to answer and sharpen your sword. That's where you be. That's when God will use you. That's why He sends those who are out already doing it instead of somebody that just sits down.
That's right.
That's what God wants you to do. So God commands us to go out. But don't expect for God to be, or rather for the command to be reasonable. It's not you're going to come out with excuses that it's too hot, it's too far. It's too late. I don't know that much. I don't know what's going to happen. When I see what God told Noah to build that ark, I'm sure he had thought, what in the world? Building a boat here on dry land? How am I going to get it over there? There's no truck, no. How am I going to haul it over to the ocean? I don't know if there was even an ocean close by. The thing is that when God tells you to do something like He told Moses, strike the rock and water will come out, I'm sure he thought, what's going on? But that's how it is. Or when He told Joshua, you need to go around Jericho. And then on the seventh day, you need to go around it seven times. And then you need to get seven priests with seven trumpets. And they need to blow it seven times. And then when they blow it, they need to shout. And the walls are going to fall. Don't you think that sounded stupid? But that's what they did. I'm sure the people in Jericho were saying, look at those fools. What are they doing going around? They're going to get tired. They're wearing out their shoes. But yet, that's what God had commanded. And the Lord blessed them. But you know, it's a good example of for us, what I see Ananias. The order sometimes you know, they come our way and we're just going to have to obey. Just like when Noah obeyed, a remnant was saved. Just like when Abraham obeyed, a nation was born. Just like Moses, when he obeyed, Israel was delivered. And when Jesus obeyed, sin was paid for and Satan defeated. So we have many examples of obedience, of those who God uses, and He'll use anyone who is willing to go. You don't have to have any diploma with you. You don't have to go and show anybody that you're a graduate from here or from there. He just wants somebody who is willing to go and praise the Lord and to tell of the wonderful works to the children of men. God is just looking for volunteers. People that will be seasoned and become hardened and become good soldiers in the battlefield. You never learn how to fight if you never get into the battle. And that's what we're called to do. You got excuses. We all have them. But you still need to just say, Lord, I will, because you said so. Amen. So if you're here also, I've been speaking mostly to Christians, but if you're here and you're not saved, Jesus is also calling you, just like He calls all of us that are saved. He calls you to get saved. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God has His hand extended all the day long, waiting for you to call upon His name. We see in the scriptures that salvation is only by calling. The story that I just gave you here about Paul, that's how Paul got saved. God didn't save him on that road to Damascus. He had to go to that house. He had to go to that street called Straight. He had to go and pray. And another individual, a Christian, he had to go out there and witness to him. And the Apostle Paul says in chapter 22 that Ananias told him, Brother Saul, watch away your sins calling upon the name of the Lord. That's how Paul got saved. That's why he wrote in the scriptures later on, he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here this morning and you haven't done it, do it. That's what the Bible teaches. All through the scriptures. It's all by grace. It's all by faith. It's all by Jesus. He's the one who did it. He's the only name by which you can be saved. So why don't you call upon Him even this morning? We're going to stand up and the altar will be opened. We're going to sing 249. You need to settle some scores. You need to come and ask for forgiveness to the Lord. The altar is open. You want to get saved? Come on over and we'll get somebody to talk to you, and in case you have any questions.